Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. With its big ears and its large brain, a long memory, the African elephant is one of the most fascinating creatures on Earth. Yet, as fascinating as they are, far more fascinating is the human being. For we, with our much smaller ears and smaller brains, have a very powerful memory. In fact, our memory, what and how we remember, can affect so much in life. It's the difference between a happy or a miserable person. Our memory has power to establish war or peace. It's changed the history of the world and the history of every human family. For almost four straight years now, there's been a book on the New York Times bestseller entitled The Body Keeps Score: Brain, Mind, Body in the Healing of Trauma. It's written by a Boston psychiatrist, Bessel van der Kolk. And the body that he writes about is not an elephant, but the human body. The score that he refers to is not that of a card game or a sports event, but trauma. And it is amazing how the human body keeps the score of trauma. Trauma affects the body, but even more, it reshapes it. It has power to change the body, the brain, to reform it even. In the past, this was evident amidst war veterans, those that come home from the battlefield, having seen and endured so much. But today, the battlefield is much closer to home. Wars are not limited to the battlefields. And in fact, some homes are battlefields. Van der Kolk gives a lot of statistics, some of which are interesting. He says that 1 in 3 people have been molested. 1 in 4 have alcoholism in their homes. 1 in 3 marriages experience physical violence. Trauma affects the whole body. The human being's ability to trust, to engage life, to enjoy life. The human's ability to be free. What happens at one moment in life, especially traumatic moments, do not remain there. Just like what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. In a nutshell, relationships hurt. But as van der Kolk writes, relationships can also be incredibly healing. I'm sharing all of this with you on this Trinity Sunday as we celebrate the feast day of God, because God is relationship. And over again in human history, God takes the brunt of our trauma. And it needs to be recognized. Up and down history, God is ignored and accused of almost everything. Up and down human history, he's maligned and misunderstood. And up and down history, even in our own day, God is blasphemed and blamed of all sorts of things. And human beings do this. Elephants don't do this. We do. And if God keeps score, then we're all a bunch of losers. Now, this is nothing new. God's been the punching bag of humans forever. take a look at the crucifix. But in our own day, it's taking on new forms. And in light of this, it may be time, and Trinity Sunday may provide an opportunity, a good time, I'd suggest, to give God his due, or at least the benefit of the doubt, to examine who he is and who he's not, to have a thoughtful consideration of God. I think Trinity Sunday offers a time to do that. So often we think of Trinity Sunday and we think of a mystery, and fair enough, God is a mystery. But my friends, he's been in the business of revealing himself for 2,000 years, longer. He's not just mystery. He has shown himself. He has revealed himself. And that revelation matters. So three things today. Number one, God is not one being above all other beings. He's not a superpower. He's not a divine cop. That's not God. God is being itself. And the fact that you and I are, the fact that we exist, points to the existence of God. That we are willed, created, sustained, allowed for. That's really something to consider. And those who say that there is no God, they're either just plain stupid or they're cowards. And I say that not as a priest. I say that as a human being. Look at an ant. Look at a flower. Consider carefully creation around you. And you cannot deny God. Number two, God, being itself, has revealed himself to us, not only in creation, but in his Son, Jesus. He has revealed himself to be a communion of life and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not a singularity, but a unity of divine persons, a unity in love. Made in his image and likeness, God's way, his pattern, is within us. And we have a capacity for God, which is remarkable. We fit God. And finally, this revelation of love invites something. It invites our participation, our sharing in him. And my friends, without that communion, without the life of God, we are in very deep trouble. As human beings, we are subject to all sorts of distortion, distraction, disasters. We are subject to the worship of so many false gods, whether they be other people, things, or pleasure, or power. The revelation, life is hell without the living God, the true God. And participating in him is the great invitation. It's the great privilege. And for you and I who have been baptized in his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have become his body. And that's the most wonderful news of all. And so whether we realize it or not, as baptized people, as the body of Christ, as the church, we have big ears. We have a beautiful memory. We have big hearts and big brains, and we are called to use it to love and to see and to live as he did. And that's so wonderful when we do that. How often in my small thinking, in my distorted vision, I ask for God's thought, for God's vision. And it frees me up. My friends, to fail to recognize this, to fail to recognize God and who He is, to live with a puny, small life is tragic. And human beings can do such great harm as we blaspheme God. We do harm to the world. We do harm to ourselves. We do harm to others. I just close with two examples that were on display this week. Number one, this week, for the first time in many centuries, the main altar of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome had to be rededicated. On a particular day this week, a man, in naked as a jaybird, stood on the altar of St. Peter's, the main altar, stood there and blasphemed God, protesting the war. Why didn't he stand on top of the Eiffel Tower? He stood on the altar of St. Peter's. This week, Dodgers pitcher Blake Treinen, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, he said, God cannot be mocked. And I liked, finally, someone said something. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Yes, he can. Yes, he is mocked. All the time. And it's so sad. But you know, God can be loved. And it's time, my friends, for you and I to love him. Now more than ever. To spend time with him, to learn from him, to do what the elephants can't do, to be him, and to live him. And in a world that is living in ignorant, blasphemous, and dangerous ways, you and I are so privileged to live God's way. And that is always good. May we know His goodness more as we profess our faith and as we live it in Him. God be with you.